everybody. Welcome back to Tea with the Supremes. Julie here with Ebony, Cassandra, and Savannah.
Hey.
Hey, everyone.
Did y'all listen to the last episode? She did it again. You're supposed to say, tell everybody hello. Hello, everybody.
I don't like to order people around. This is a safe space. Anyways, welcome back, everyone. We hope you had a wonderful week last week. I believe that this month is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. So with that, Cass is going to lead this conversation in that realm. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it to Cass to get started.
I'm kind of excited. I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole with this one, but like, it's a good rabbit hole to go down because I didn't realize like how many like good things are happening in the realm of men's mental health. So I hope you guys are ready for the ride. So I wanted to start off. So first of all, I saw this really awesome saying in an article I read. So it said, good mental health is as important as oxygen. You need it to survive. But there are many different reasons why men are less likely to speak about mental health problems such as depression. I loved that. Loved that because mental health is health, 100%. So just some statistics to start off. So roughly around 6 million men are affected with depression in the United States every single year. Men are more likely to die by suicide at a rate of 4 times higher than women. They also die due to alcohol-related causes in comparison, more alcohol-related causes in comparison to women, and are 2 to 3 times more likely to misuse drugs than women. The biggest killer of men under 50 is actually suicide, and 75% of all suicides involve men. And something that kind of shocked me was 60 men die every 60 minutes from suicide. Just let that soak in for a second. So since suicide is the third leading cause of death, I thought I would bring in some statistics about a marginalized community. So I found a lot of research on African-American males. So it is the third leading cause of death, ages 15 to 24 in African-Americans males. Untreated mental illness can also make African-American males more vulnerable to substance abuse, homelessness, incarceration, and homicide. So that's from this campaign called Brother, You're On My Mind, which I'll get to later. It's really, really cool, this campaign that this honors fraternity came up with. So I wanted to bring in, because we talk about everybody's culture and socioeconomic status and race, but we've never really defined definitively like what culture is on the podcast. So I just wanted to go through that. So culture is defined as a person's beliefs, values, and norms within a given racial or ethnic group. It impacts certain ideas and behaviors and directly relates to the meaning that people attach to their illness, their mental illness. Culture also affects whether people seek help, what type of help they seek, and their coping style and their support systems. Social norms typically guide acceptable behavior and form the framework that guides how people experience mental illness and internalize public attitudes that may lead to embarrassment and shame when it comes to men's mental health. And that leads me into my first point of why men's mental health is so important. So a lot of the times, traditional masculinity is like the number one reason why men don't seek mental health help. So it's a subset of masculine norms that accentuate certain expressions of masculinity and invoke some form of power, dominance, and privilege over women and even some men. So toxic masculinity, which y'all know I love to talk about because F men, but not in this case, don't F men in this case. Toxic masculinity closely aligns with certain expressions of traditional masculinity. It's the demonstration of behaviors that are enforced by restrictions and behaviors, so crying, fear, based on gender roles that amplifies existing power structures that favor the dominance of men. So this may lead to the difficulty in expressing emotions, which is seen often in men with mental illness. So adherence to these rigid masculine norms may lead to worsening of depression, anxiety, substance abuse, greater health risk, issues with dating and interpersonal intimacy, issues with interpersonal violence, increase in overall psychological distress, discouragement in seeking health, and homophobia. I'm curious so far what y'all think.
Just sidebar comment that one of the reasons that suicide is so common, I don't want to say common, but it is so common with men is the biggest contributing factor to suicide is access to lethal means. And men are much more likely to use lethal means as in guns and things of that nature when they attempt suicide, which much higher rates of resulting in, I don't want to say successful, but resulting in death by suicide. And I actually, now that you brought this up, I remember attending a suicide awareness conference, and there was a session specifically on men's health. And that was one of the biggest things was men that are depressed, you know, depression is a sign of weakness, so you don't seek help. And in the same vein, were a man to attempt suicide and not succeed in their goal of committing suicide, that's almost more despairing and embarrassing for them than had they completed suicide. So that is like just exacerbates the issue because of that whole masculinity aspect.
I think when we start to break down, as you've broken down so eloquently, Cass, the specific barriers to getting help when you're starting to look at the demographics, it is so clear how biased our society is, because we talk about bias in race, we talk about it from the perspective, I mean, we're women, so of course it's our lived experience, but when you start to really look at some of the statistics for men, or all of the statistics for men, it shows how far behind we are and how much the patriarchal society has, as much as we talk about how it has hindered women and our success, man, it has hindered men and their wellness.
So that actually brings up, so I wanted to talk about the more uncommon reasons why men's mental health is not prioritized. So this brings up my first point of awareness strategies are not targeted well to men. They're more targeted to women. So research done and developed by Man Therapy Mental Health Campaign indicated that men respond more strongly to humor and at least initially to softer mental health language. Once men are engaged enough to learn more, there's often much less resistance to having our concerns contextualized with mental health. Many awareness campaigns fail to take these considerations into account, leading men to sort of, they called it like just like checking out as soon as they mention anything about mental health. And it causes men to feel like out of place or vulnerable when discussing these issues. So I'm so happy you brought that up.
And I'm shocked, but I'm not, because as we start to think about it, I guess it's every movement, every demographic has a movement, but we've talked about so many things that the male dominance and how we've been socialized as women to want this and want this, but I don't think we talk about how boys and men are socialized and how boys are socialized and then grow up to be men that we're now having this conversation about that I think, man, we really need to have more conversations about this.
So the other two unconventional ways that men's mental health can be brought up. So men also ask for help differently. So they're much more likely to accept help. And this is not to generalize, but this is, I wanted to bring up these alternative viewpoints because everybody is a little bit different. So men are much more likely to accept help where there's a chance for reciprocity.
Yeah,
that one, big word. That is when they are perceived, when they perceive an opportunity to help another person in return. This wards off the feeling of weakness that is often associated when asking for help, and they prefer to either fix or at least try to fix issues ourselves when possible before reaching out for help at all. So instead of seeing this as a barrier, we should see we should look for ways that loved ones, friends, doctors, and others can incorporate this into encouraging healthier self-care strategies for men. And then the final one, so men can express mental health problems differently, leading to mis- or underdiagnosis, which that happens a lot in women too. So it's both perspectives, but we're talking about men. So like I said, although men and women experience similar symptoms with some mental health concerns, how they manifest and present these symptoms are very different. So women often respond to symptoms of depression with more recognizable effects. So they might appear disheartened, sad, or express their feelings of worthlessness. Men can also demonstrate those as well, but they're more likely to present a more irritable effect. So like anger, frustration, being impulsive, that aren't always considered in the context of depression. They're often dismissed as acting out, or I know my little brother has consistently been told that he has ADHD when he was, I think it started when he was like in third grade. And I was like to my mom, I'm like, he's a 6-year-old boy. Like, he's gonna be bouncing all over the walls for a little while until he learns how to focus. But anyways, so if typically men respond with increased drug or alcohol use, and those are typically seen as normal American male behaviors, which is crazy to me. Like abusing drugs and alcohol shouldn't be a norm for anything.
You know, as you say that because it's even in the visual media that we watch, it's the expected thing that you come mm-hmm. home and you have a drink. You come mm-hmm. home, that's how you unwind. And then we wonder why we have such high rates of alcoholism and addiction and things of that nature. But to your point about your little brother, you know, boys are definitely viewed differently when you talk about in the classroom and things. As I'm, you know me, I'm always thinking of the genesis of these things. We socialize them so differently. You know, even the gender roles and what you're supposed to do. I remember having to correct myself when my son was crying, and I'm like, man, toughen up. And I'm like, wait a minute. I wasn't as enlightened as I am now, but you know, why can't you cry? Why is it not okay for you to express these things? And then we now have all the studies and the things that you've mentioned, because boys are taught that those aren't manly things to do. Those are somehow expressing yourself becomes an effeminate characteristic, and you shouldn't do it. And then women are dating men that are a nightmare to deal with, right? Because you haven't figured out how to process and how to do these things. And then
how to communicate.
Right. And then you're just, they're just dropping, they're dropping dead of heart attacks and health issues at such young ages, because we now know the effects of stress on the body. And we know when you don't deal with those mental health issues, how they can become physical and create so many of the issues. I'm wow. Like, I, man, we need to do better.
Yeah. And it's not only us as counselors that have to do better. It's us as sisters, as mothers, as grandmothers, as mothers, you know, we, as Jules says sometimes, gender is a construct. So we need to break these barriers that have been consistently placed on us throughout history.
I will say, though, as you bring that up, like, so I have boys, and I'm very focused on making sure that they are well-rounded and know that emotions are important and they need to express emotions and all of these things. And my oldest is 14, so he gets the bulk of the conversations because he's an age where he understands. And even though I'm so transparent about it, and even my husband like tries to support in that aspect, my son pushes back hard. He is always like, I'm a guy, like whatever, that stuff doesn't matter, or like you just have to man up. And that's not coming from in our house, but that's coming from everything around him. So even though we are consistently pushing, like, it's okay to show emotion, it's okay to, you know, deal with mental health, it's okay to see, because he goes back and forth on whether or not he has anxiety. And I was like, it'd be great for you to see a therapist. And he is like, that's so weird. Like, my child, I'm going to be a therapist. Like, my child is like, that's such a weird thing to do. Like, I don't need a therapist. And I'm like, but so the fact that even though our house is so supportive of positive mental health and he hears it daily, he's still getting so much outer influence that it's weird to, as a male, to address any level of mental health. So there's still a lot of stigma and systems out there that are pushing men to uphold a certain standard or behave a certain way that's stopping them from seeking support or like acknowledging that getting support is normal.
Yeah, I see like me and Ebony shaking our heads. A shared experience, like my 14-year-old too is just like, he would rather hold everything in and talk about nothing and just be in a bad mood. And it's just like, if you just tell us what's wrong and then we'll understand why you're being kind of a jerk to us, like there's room for communication. We care about what's wrong with you. Like, you're allowed to have feelings. You're allowed to have these emotions. Like, I don't understand what's the consequence for, I mean, here, at least here in home, like, what consequence do you face by not being expressive and opening up and sharing your feelings? Like, we're not going to punish you for feeling sad or feeling mad. Just let us know what's going on. And it's a big struggle in our household with our 14-year-old. And like, I can see where outside of the house and within the community and around his friends that, yes, there is consequences. He's going to get told he's a girl or whatever. He's going to get, he's weak for having these feelings. But here at home, he's very much supported. And so it's really hard to have him not open up to us and share what he's going through, or just even just say one feeling word, I'm mad. Like, okay, well, at least we understand why you're acting the way you are.
I'm so glad the two of you said that. And it's funny because, well, we all have, at least have boys, but I was definitely not as evolved as I am at this particular moment. I was at least enough to understand that he needed to be able to express himself and talk and say the things, because he internalizes and shuts things down. But I remember people used to say, and I don't know if that's been either of your experiences, they would be like, oh, you're so lucky to have a boy. It's so much easier than, you know, all the things you have to deal with a girl and all of the emotions. And I have nieces and goddaughters. I don't have to raise little girls. But I will say, I remember very early on in our program, one of our mentors said, we were having a discussion, and she said, I don't think people understand that children are just little people. They have the same feelings and the same issues and same concerns, and even more so, the feelings are so much bigger in them because they don't know how to process it. So if we don't know how to process it as adults, they don't have the language, which is why I'm so in love with play therapy, but they don't have the language to express it. Why do we then feel that all of a sudden boys are not in this category and they don't have those same words and same feelings and they need to express the same way? So I'm glad we're saying it. We're adding into this from the perspective of raising children and in the school system, because if we don't start to address it from these perspectives, from how we parent our boys, how we socialize our young men, how we support them and show them, so that when they grow up to be men, that those influences won't overpower what we are instilling or what we're trying to instill in them, because they just come from everywhere.
Totally. And a point that I saw in my research, so manhood needs to be redefined. There must be a transformation in changing the American culture in which males are more comfortable expressing themselves. It's also really important with everything with COVID and the pandemic, where men who may be experiencing a lot of mental health problems are vulnerable to the isolation that COVID-19 had created. I think COVID forced a lot of people to deal with a lot of stuff they weren't ready to deal with, because you were literally just sitting in the house thinking all day or mindlessly watching Netflix, either one. So it really created an environment of creating more mental illness, which then added to the significance of overcoming and leveraging the barriers of the access to mental health resources among those who are less likely to seek professional help. So I did find some pretty cool resources. So first of all, always, there's a National Suicide Prevention Hotline. That's 800-273-8255. Or if you are in an emergency situation, please call 911. Or if you know somebody who's in crisis, please take them to the appropriate parties. So I found 9 resources for men, mental health resources for men that are readily available. So the first one is CALM, Campaign Against Living Miserably. They do have a helpline and a web chat that you can use from 5 to midnight, 365 days a year. And the specialists are dedicated to supporting men who are feeling suicidal or who need to talk for anything, any reason. They proclaim that being silent isn't being strong. I think that's really powerful to say. Health Unlocked. So that is actually a community and it's an online forum where you can anonymously ask questions about mental health or a particular scenario you may be in. And community members, you can really engage with other community members without that pressure of being with a counselor or a crisis therapist. MOT for the Mind. This is another online forum that is a really effective way to figure out how someone is feeling, maintaining a positive mental well-being, and improving on your well-being. Flourish Zone provides someone with a confidential world where you can develop whatever skills you would like, including resilience and practicing mental health coping skills. It's a safe space for men to work on their well-being in private and at their own pace. The Men's Manual for Good Mental Health. This skills collective is a free guide containing tips and information that men can use to educate themselves about mental health and look at their own mental well-being. Daddy Blues is a book by Mark Williams that explores male postnatal depression, which I think is just as important as female postnatal depression and fatherhood. He had never heard of fathers going through postnatal depression, but with a baby that wouldn't stop crying and a wife he could no longer connect with, the author felt like he was losing himself more and more each day. So this book is ideal for men with a lot of caring responsibilities and who are struggling with their mental health and are kind of stuck and they don't know what to do next. Man Up. So this is UK based, but I think it's important because we do have some international listeners. It is a men's mental health podcast that aims to get men to talk about mental health more. Since being a part of the men's mental health crisis is a stigma, the podcast plays a big role in normalizing male conversations around mental health and giving men the confidence to speak up and seek help. Heads Together is another program that works to reduce the stigma around mental health. The campaign involves numerous celebrities and male role models sharing stories about their own mental health struggles as a way to tell other men that it's okay to talk. They do have a YouTube channel, which is a great place to start if you are not feeling confident enough to speak up, or if you need reassurance that mental health struggles are a valid problem. And then finally, and my favorite one that I found, so the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity and the National Institute for Mental Health have launched a campaign called Brother, You're On My Mind, which is specific to African American males. So they have two main goals, and that's to collaborate on efforts to educate members, their families, and related communities on the effect of depression and stress, and to communicate the importance of seeking help for mental health problems and to encourage affected individuals to get more information about their health care providers and in others in order to obtain appropriate treatment. And that's my soapbox. But I just wanted to bring those resources in because I always like to leave people with something tangible. And I think it's really important to know that there's more than one place that you can reach out for help. And especially if you want to be anonymous, there's a lot of these programs are anonymous and you don't have to put your name out there or your any part of your identity. So yeah.
I want to add one that you did mention earlier. I think you referenced was Man Therapy. So it's called mantherapy.org. And one of the webinars I attended was actually someone that worked on the research and founding that organization. And what they found from their research was that effective programs targeted specifically to men, what men were looking for were to soften the mental health language and initial communication, so less clinical stuff, humor, specifically dark humor, showing role models of hope and recovery, meeting men where they are, offering opportunities for men to give back and make meaning out of their struggle, and give men at least a chance to self-assess and fix themselves before reaching out to like formalize support. So mantherapy.org is a good resource too. And their campaigns are very, as they found, humor and dark humor is one of their biggest things. So their campaign posters are hilarious and they have them targeted specifically to men and specifically to first responders, specifically to military. And they are all dark humor regarding mental health, but in a way that is meant to reach men and to encourage them to seek out support. So that's a fun resource as well. So thank you, Cass, for bringing this important topic to light and providing so many information, so many resources. We'll definitely link all of those. And we will continue to keep encouraging the men in our lives to become more comfortable with mental health and encouraging our listeners and those around our listeners to seek support in whatever capacity that means moving forward. So with that, I will pass it to Ebony to give us a quote for this week.
Cass, I thank you for bringing all of this to light. It is such needed information, and shout out to the Brothers of Omega. That's just amazing. There was a movement a while back, started out as a hashtag movement, that has led to some other things. And it said, it's okay to talk. So I just want to use one of their actual quotes. And it's just, it was a greeting. So it was just shout out to all the men going through a lot with no one to turn to, because this world wrongly taught their males to mask their emotions. It is okay to unmask. So I joined the hashtag and say, it's okay to talk.
Absolutely. And Savannah, what self-care can you give our listeners and maybe specifically our men this week?
Well, mine was more kind of general, but men can definitely engage in this activity too. But with the warmer weather, look into what your community is offering and try to engage in those activities like farmers market or outside exercises or yoga. For example, here we have yoga on the lake. So just getting outside and getting that vitamin D.
Absolutely. One of my favorite ways of self-care. I love it. And Cass, you started us off. So if you can finish this episode and close us out with some mindfulness.
So my mindfulness challenge, so I kind of have two. So one for our men, first and foremost, be kind to your mind. Oh, wait, we didn't take our mindful breath. Okay, now we're ready to go. So first of all, men, please be kind to your mind and remember that it is okay to not be okay. It is okay to feel all the feelings. I promise it gets better. And I want you guys to be mindful of any situation where you are uncomfortable. I want you to work on identifying those emotions in that moment, because that's a form of mindfulness, is identifying what you're feeling in that present moment. And then for our supporters of all our men, whether it be a partner, a family member, be with them in that moment. If you see they're uncomfortable, maybe just do like a little sidebar with them and be like, hey, like, what's going on? What are you feeling right now? Because sometimes expressing those emotions kind of helps release some of that anxiety around sharing. So yeah, just be kind to your minds.
Absolutely. And with that, we close out another great episode, and we appreciate all of our listeners for sticking out with us, and have an amazing week. Focus on your mental health, and we will see you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
We out, Supremes.